Time for our parenting slot. Once again, David Carey joins us. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Right, first question is this. Quite a disturbing one. My 7-year-old daughter has recently started twirling and pulling out her hair, leaving semi-bald patches at the front of her head. She changed school 2 years ago as we moved. She's now one of the youngest in her class. However, her teachers tell me she's very popular and a good girl in school, both academically and socially, and is especially good at helping others. However, at home, she can be an intense and sensitive girl, prone to moodiness and anger with her younger siblings and us. This can often be pronounced after a play date, and especially in the mornings before school, when she will be truculent about anything from getting dressed to breakfast, her hair or her uniform, which can regularly end in tears. She also bites her nails and used to have a habit of lightly hitting her stomach or thigh, which I noticed was especially pronounced when with groups of peers. This now seems to have passed, but the hair pulling has appeared instead. Aside from keeping her hair tied back and reminding her not to pull it, I'm unsure how to tackle this. Are there underlying anxiety issues? What should I do about it?
There probably are underlying anxiety issues. There's several things here that I want to comment on. She's fine in school. None of these issues appear. That means she's playing up in front of the parents. Parents, get yourself a copy of the book, 1-2-3 Magic. In fact, get 2 copies of it if you have a parenting partner. Both of you read it, follow the script, the home problems will disappear. That's in regards to the temper tantrums and being truculent. Not often we get a question with that word.
Lovely word, though, yes.
I used to think it was truculent, which I think sounds
better.
It sounds
kind of French and posh.
Yeah, indeed. So she'll be much less truculent and moody, et cetera, once you start interacting with her a little differently at home. Mm. Children very often play up at home. And when it doesn't happen in school, it helps us understand that there isn't some sort of deep emotional or psychological disturbance. Because if there is, it happens in numerous contexts, not just one. So the hair pulling, the nail biting, et cetera, yes, these are signs of stress and stress-relieving activities. You have some choices. Begin to teach her some proper breathing exercises. Sometimes that's called mindfulness. If you have a smartphone, download a little breathing app that will help her regulate her breathing. Teach her some visualization exercises to bring her mind to a happy place and an emotional shift into a happy memory or thinking about someone she loves. Teach her that a couple of times and then ask her to practice it 2 or 3 times a day for 2 or 3 minutes only. Within 10 days, you'll see a reduction of some of the symptoms. If you do not, you may need to consult a psychologist or a therapist or something to get her involved in some brief half hour, 4 or 5 visits of stress reduction exercises. These things are usually handled pretty easily, actually.
In a 7-year-old, though, what could cause that level of anxiety?
Ah,
or is that even a useful question?
Well, it's both useful and useless because
yes.
we don't know exactly what could cause it. Now, number one, one thing I always ask is who else has a lot of anxiety in the family? About 85% of the time, a parent will say, me.
Yeah.
I was a very anxious child. I'm a worrier. I'm constantly worrying and fretting about things. So children see this behavior and they can model it. There is also some genetic predisposition to these sorts of things as well.
Mm.
So there can be genetics behind this. There can be learned behavior behind this. There can be stressors in a child's life that we're not quite aware of.
Yeah.
Difficulties with peers that may not be obvious. Difficulties in school that may not be obvious to the class teacher. So digging a little deeper and asking some interesting questions and talking with the child about how happy he or she is in their life and where the problems are, if there are any, will sometimes reveal some of the causes. Knowing the causes doesn't change the situation.
Yeah.
You still have to resolve the stress and tension. I'm concerned mostly about the hair pulling. Lots of people bite their nails. Not a big deal. Maybe it's cosmetically a little bit unsightly, but it's still a self-soothing thing and an unpleasant, but sometimes lifelong habit. But the hair pulling with bald patches, that needs attention. That could very lead to trichotillomania, which we've talked about many times on air.
Yeah.
So I'd like to have that looked at. But I think I've given you a little hints about how you proceed on this. Don't make a big deal out of it. At age 7, it's often very treatable, and some short interventions can be very, very helpful.
I have a daughter in junior cert who has dyslexia. I spoke to a teacher who assessed her for a grammar and spelling waiver for her language exams in June. and have been told she's not eligible. Her language teachers have made these allowances in her grading since first year because of her dyslexia. So we're now in a situation where all her exams since then are 10% higher than they should have been. So she's now only borderline passing. The school have final say and are not taking the educational psychology report into account. And their best advice is for her to drop her French and Irish, which she's struggling with. And she's done 2.5 years of hard slog with these subjects. She's really starting to panic about this now and is worried about what this will mean for her exams. How can I calm her down as I deal with her school? I don't want her to worry and become overstressed in what is already a stressful year.
I do not understand this scenario at all, Sean. On the first hand, we have a child who has been in the past diagnosed with a specific learning disability, one of which is commonly referred to as dyslexia. Second, her intervention program at school has been successful, so that her scores have improved by 10%. This raises an interesting point that I think needs to be discussed a little bit. The long-term goal of any special education intervention program is to remediate the child until and when they meet an exit criteria. In other words, until their dyslexia or their learning difficulty lessens to the extent that it is no longer significantly interfering with academic progress. The key word there is significantly. And we don't have time to go into all the details behind this, but we have ways to measure improvement, and we have ways to ascertain whether the child has met a recognized departmental exit strategy, which is particularly internationally relevant, actually. We do follow generally very good international guidelines here. So she had the dyslexia. Remediation has helped. She no longer meets the criteria for spelling and grammar waivers on the junior cert exam, which means she no longer has a specific learning disability. And I don't understand, therefore, why the school is saying she must drop Irish, because you only get an Irish language exemption in this case if you have a specific learning disability.
Yeah.
And if you have a specific learning disability, you're eligible for spelling and grammar waivers on state examinations. So this does not make any sense to me. She's trying to panic about, she's starting to panic about it. I think parents need to go to school, go back to the psychologist, have the psychologist write a letter, find out from school exactly what's going on here. Let's get some clarity on this. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because it sounds like there is an educational psychology report, but the school is not taking it into account. Is it up to the school to say that the dyslexia isn't a problem anymore?
No. The criteria are crystal clear. There must be a significant discrepancy between the child's measured level of cognitive ability, IQ, in other words, and their current academic achievement in either mathematics, literacy, spelling, or sometimes written language. I can't go into it in more depth here. However, there must be a significant discrepancy, and we have guidelines for that, and we have numerical ways of ascertaining whether there is a significant discrepancy. If that discrepancy disappears, then it is deemed that the child no longer has a specific learning disability, may be a weak reader, but being a weak reader doesn't mean you have dyslexia. So, yes, we can ascertain all this. We can find out crystal clear. If they don't meet the criteria, you don't get an Irish language exemption.
What is the appropriate discipline for a three-year-old? My boy throws things in frustration, sometimes hitting me, his sister, or three-month-old brother with the missile. As it's usually his own toys, I've been putting the thrown toys away from him. Is that right or wrong?
Well, we've covered this a lot of times. Down to the child's level, eye level, we do not throw things. You may not throw things. It's wrong. We don't do that in this house. A stern look of disapproval, a stern voice without shouting or frightening the child. If you wish in your family and you have time out as an intervention, and I don't like it being called the naughty step or the bold step, just time out is very simple enough. 3 minutes for a three-year-old in time out. End of time out. Why were you asked to sit quietly like that, David? Because I threw my toys. Okay, what should you have done instead of throwing your toys? Right? Sometimes we just simply ask, say sorry. I'm sorry. And we forget to ask, what are you sorry for? What did you do? And the follow-up question is even more important, Sean. What should you have done instead? and then you teach the child to more consistently do what they should have done instead. And we watch for triggers. Low frustration tolerance is to be expected amongst three-year-olds. Impulse control problems can be expected amongst the 2 and 3 year old age group. Usually they disappear by around age 4. Not always, but usually. And so I wouldn't be overly concerned here. You need to deal with this symptomatically.
Yeah.
Don't assume that there's a huge problem with aggression here. This sounds to me like self-regulation and emotional discontrol in a three-year-old child whose emotional development may be lagging a little bit behind their chronological age.
Yeah. Somebody, because you did mention 1-2-3 Magic, would that book 1-2-3 Magic help with a 12-year-old with very similar issues as the hair-pulling texter?
Here, it's not an intervention for hair pulling
per se. Yeah,
yeah. And let's keep that in mind. That's a completely separate thing. The 1-2-3 Magic book works a charm when people use it. It doesn't work so well when they hold it to their forehead and believe that it infuses their brain with knowledge without having to read it. It's a low arousal method of intervention. It involves counting 1, 2, 3. The child or children always know what the consequence is if they get to 3. There are certain offenses that are high stakes, such as hitting or throwing things amongst older children, in which you don't count 1 to 3, it's 3, and then the consequences put in place.
Yes.
It works.
Yeah.
Get it. Does it work with 12-year-olds? Yes. Particularly effective with children who have behavioral discontrol issues, such as children with ADHD. Is it effective with children for oppositional defiant disorder? Sometimes, but that's difficult. That's a whole different kettle of fish.
Yeah. My son is 7 and quite close to his mother. Lately, he's been staying home from school, saying he feels unwell and spends the day being his mother's shadow. I have spoken to my wife about helping him to be more independent and loosening the strings a bit, and she's agreed, but I feel like we're taking backward steps as of late. He needs to be with his friends more, he certainly needs to be in school, and he needs to have some alone time reading books, etc. Instead of being stuck to my wife's hip, I don't want to upset him and have this happen overnight. How should I properly implement this change?
Well, you're going to have to upset him a little bit, and that's just too bad. The only reason for children to stay home from school is quite simple. 1, it's bleeding. 2, you're vomiting. 3, you have a fever. Mm. If you don't have any of that, you're in school. Those are the breaks. He must be in school. Simple. You must get together with the missus and come to some common sense about appropriate parenting here. The child has to be in school. There's no excuse for being home in a situation like this. All right?
Mm.
Sometimes there are exceptions to this rule, but they're few and far between. Yes, he needs to be out playing. I think you and the wife have to have a sit down because you can't do it alone if the missus won't comply.
Yeah.
She can't do it alone if you're colluding and enabling somehow. So it's time for a heart-to-heart talk about what's best for this little boy and what's developmentally appropriate. What's appropriate? Play outside in the garden. Get to school every day.
Yeah, she's agreed, as you said, but it sounds like probably it's harder for her, perhaps, because she's particularly close to this child.
You know, it's very often a lot of responsibility and sometimes overbearing responsibility falls on the parent who's at home. That's most often the mother, not always, but most often. Dad's off to work. Mom has to deal with everything, the morning rush, the pressure, getting them out there. That is very difficult. It is not easy. I would suggest to this father, who I believe is written in, take a look at your own schedule. You may have to inconvenience yourself a little bit in the morning and be the one that's the bad cop and gets them to school.
Yes.
To relieve some stress on your wife.
I'm wondering about the length of time out. A texter says, I'm 48. What do I need to do to get a time out for myself, and can I bring my book? That would probably be time out for adults. Would be
time
rather
out
attractive.
For adults would be a wonderful time out for parents.
Yeah.
The best gift you can give your parenting partner is a voucher for an afternoon or an evening off while you look after all the kids, the dinner, the house, the hoovering, and everything.
Yeah.
That goes for the men or the women. That was a wonderful gift, and that should be extended to once a month at least.
Yeah. Best Christmas present you can give.
Yes.
We're a hectic but functional house. My wife and I work full-time jobs. We have 5 children. Our twin boys are 4. We have a fantastic au pair who's been with us since the twins were a couple of months old. Lately, on occasions, one of the twins wets himself, has little hissy fits about what clothes he wears, and has developed a patch of alopecia. Should we be worried?
No, I don't think you should be worried. Deal with this symptomatically again. Let's not make big catastrophes out of what might just be a short-term adjustment difficulty. Try to find out. Talk to the au pair, by the way, and see what the au pair has noticed, if anything, about the child's behavior. Is there a real change? Lately, on occasions, you know,
yeah,
things happen on occasion.
Yeah.
And when it happens on occasion, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If it happens regularly, that's something to be concerned about. Now, has he developed a patch of alopecia? Do we really know it's alopecia? Has he been tricking, you know, has he been pulling the hair out? We need to make some observations here. Go to the GP. Ask the GP. Is there some reason why seborrhea or psoriasis or something can cause a patch of baldness on a person's head?
Yeah.
So let's rule out the medical, then treat it symptomatically. He's only 4. Ask some questions. Observe. I think it'll pass.
Yeah. And, you know, busy house, as they say.
Ooh, very. And it's this time of year.
Mm. My five-year-old, who was only 5 since October, is struggling a bit since starting school. He seems to be enjoying school but finds homework quite taxing and is more interested in playing. He's a very bright, sweet, imaginative child but seems quite young for his age, not as focused as his older brothers were. We were surprised when we went to a parent-teacher meeting when the teacher said he was not too focused or interested and hard to engage with, i.e. a dreamer. We're a bit worried. We're doing as requested by the teacher and giving him tasks to do, etc. Should we just monitor his progress as suggested over the next few months? He's 5 and he's getting homework.
There is no reason on God's earth that a 5-year-old should be assigned homework, or a 6-year-old, or a 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why homework should be assigned in primary school. It's useless. It doesn't consolidate knowledge. It does not improve knowledge acquisition or mastery. All it does is disrupt family life.
Mm-hmm.
The only homework in primary school that should ever be assigned is get off that damn video game, go out in the back garden, use your God-given imagination, and start to play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need to get this straight, but particularly 5-year-olds who are just starting school and are now being distressed because homework is too much. For heaven's sakes, where are we going with this? Why are we putting pencils in 4- and 5-year-old hands and asking them to write down the letters of their first name? Why? To please parents and to make our school look like we're doing this wonderful job. I think I spoke last week about splintered neglect.
Yes.
When we stuff the head with knowledge and ignore the other developmental areas that are more important, social and emotional development of the child, we are guilty of neglecting children.
Mm.
And this is a systemic problem, not an individual problem. Here's what you need to do. You need to write a little note to teacher and saying your son is finding it very difficult to cope with the homework. And you have recently told him, Sonny boy, homework is between you and teacher. If you want to do it, fine. If not, teacher, we'll deal with you. We're out of the equation. If you want our help, we'll help you. We stand behind you. We love you. Don't fuss over it.
Yeah.
Teacher won't be happy. Who cares? The child's happiness is much more important.
We actually did an item yesterday, this woman who was a teacher in London, but she took a year off to write a book about this kind of international test that they give to 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
And the countries that come out consistently at the top, Singapore, Finland, Canada. Now, they have quite different education systems. Some
yes.
of them are very intensive. But the one thing they had all in common was that nobody starts school till they're 7.
Yes, that is very
Isn't
true.
Isn't that interesting?
Very true. I'm not in favor, however, I'm sick of hearing about Finland, first of all, sick to death of it.
Well, they're so smoke.
Yeah. They all go naked into a sauna, too. I mean, do we want to start doing that? These are different cultures.
Mm.
With different belief systems and different value systems, most of these comparisons are false. And when we borrow and adopt methodologies from other cultures, we go wrong. They mm-hmm. must be adapted, not adopted.
Yes. Yeah, indeed. Junior infants should not get homework. Such rubbish, says Deirdre, who's a primary school principal. Though I disagree with David saying no homework at all in primary school. They need a little bit. Another person who is a teacher says, I agree 100% with David. Stop primary homework. I assume that the teachers are required to do this, are they? They've no choice in the matter.
I think there's a recommendation. Now, teachers, please correct me on this, that it's about 20 minutes beginning in the early infant classrooms to about a half hour a day in the primary school curriculum, revised primary curriculum. I'm not entirely sure. I have to go back and check that. Doesn't matter. Mm. It's just useless. This has been researched. We know this. All it does is upset parents. Parents, do not fight with your children about homework.
Yeah.
Now, when is homework a bit more important? Secondary school, because it does serve as a very useful revision tool and a knowledge consolidation tool. But I would say to parents, when there is huge uproar and furore at home, nothing, in particular homework, is worth injuring your relationship with your child.
Yeah.
That's when you say to your older child, your teenager, okay, I'm not going to argue with you about this anymore because I love you and I want our time together to be pleasant. If you need my help, I'm here to help. Dad is here to help, or whoever else is there to help. All you have to do is ask. From now on, it's between you and teacher will deal with the fact that you do it or you don't do it. I'm stepping out of it.
Yeah.
That solves the problem.
My 15-year-old son has anorexia. He's been losing weight rapidly over the last 6 months. I can't get through to him and he won't talk to me. How do we deal with it? Where do I even start?
Well, this is a very simple answer to this question. You get right down to your GP. You have the child's health assessed by the physician. You get a referral to the COMS, that's the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service, and you insist on getting an appointment. You have to bring over and over and over again sometimes. Unfortunately, there are waiting lists. Parents or caregivers, you're not going to be able to solve the problem. This is a medical issue, and it's a mental health issue, and it needs mental health and medical intervention, and it needs it now. Don't try to deal with it on your own. Anorexia is less common amongst males than females, but it does happen.
Yeah, and I suppose what it's, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it sounds like he won't even talk to her about it, so there might be a difficulty of getting him down to the GP.
Well, look, if he was bleeding, you'd get him to the A&E even if he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
If he was in anaphylactic shock and said he didn't want to go, you'd get him somewhere within 6 minutes, hopefully, et cetera, et cetera. You treat it as a medical issue, and there is no opting out. No matter how many people it might take to wrestle them into the GP's office, you're just going to have to do it. Mm. Anorexia, if left untreated, can lead to very, very serious health issues, we all know.
Yeah.
And ultimately, sometimes death. It's serious.
Yeah.
He needs help.
Going back to homework, it lets parents know that their child is, it lets parents know what their child is doing at school. Just a few minutes is all they need, says the texter. Could they not just ask the child what they're doing at school?
No, don't.
We're studying physics, Dad. I don't believe you.
Yeah, exactly.
How dare you do that?
You'll never tell the truth anyway. I asked my child if he has homework. He said no. Of course. Yeah. What do you expect?
Even though our four children range in ages from 28 to 18, I still file David compulsive listening and everything's still useful later. I'm still learning, maybe.
Well, that is very sweet. You can get help for obsessive compulsive listening.
You can, but don't quite yet.
Not yet, please.
For other programs, you can, but not for this one. David, always a pleasure. Thanks
Thank
a million
you,
for
Sean.
Coming into us.